الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the end of time. We continue with the Kitab Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, and we were dealing last week with the Adhkar al-Sabah al-Masa, and we discussed some of the virtues of these Adhkar and the timings, the segmentation actually of the day and the night, and what to occupy ourselves with during each time. And we stopped at the title Dhikru Awradi Layl, the mentioning of the remembrance pertaining to the evening, or the night actually. He said, Al-Wirdu Al-Awwal Idha Gharabat Shamsu Ila Waqti Al-Isha. The first one, the first wird, is from the sunset until Isha. Now, he rahimahullah quoted يعني, a couple of weak narrations which cannot be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore we will not discuss that particular issue. Okay, but just so you will know the hadith that there are six rak'at, you know, whoever prays them after Maghrib and he does not speak anything evil between them, then it will be equivalent to worshipping Allah for 12 years. Okay, hadith is inauthentic, wallahu a'lam. And then he mentioned الورد الثاني من غيبوبة الشفق الأحمر إلى وقت النوم, from the absence of the red twilight until the time of bed, sleeping. يستحب أن يصلي بين الأذانين ما أمكنه. Of course, between the أذان and the إقامة, it's recommended that you pray, as you know. وليكن في قراءته ألف لام ميم تنزيل, which is سورة السجدة, and تبارك الذي بيده الملك, which is سورة الملك. فقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينام حتى يقرأهما حتى يقرأهما. So the Prophet عليه السلام would not sleep until he has recited these two particular surah. And these are from the actual authentic traditions pertaining to the virtues of surah. Because we know when it comes to this issue, we have what? Surah Sajda? Yeah, but it's authenticated by other scholars. The one that is da'if is Yasin and Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which he quoted as well. Yeah? That whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night, he will never be afflicted with any poverty. And that hadith is inauthentic. It's inauthentic. Many of the hadith pertaining to the virtues of Surah Yasin or Surah Al-Rahman and other surah, you know, you may find them to be inauthentic, while they are authentic traditions about Surah Al-Fatiha, about Ayat Al-Kursi, about Surah Al-Kahf, and so on and so forth. المهم الورد الثالث, then he quoted a hadith about Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which we already said is inauthentic. الورد الثالث الوتر قبل النوم, to pray witr before sleep, before sleeping. إلا من كان عادته القيام بالليل. So if you are in the habit of praying qiyam, then do you pray witr before you sleep? No, unless you know that you will not wake up, in which case you pray witr before you sleep, so you will not miss out on witr completely. But if you have the intention to pray a night, then the best thing is to delay witr until the end. However, if you prayed witr before sleeping, thinking you will not wake up, and then you woke up for whatever reason, and you decided to pray, do you pray witr again? No. You don't pray witr again. You can only pray witr once. Some scholars said otherwise, but the general opinion is that you pray it once. فَأَنَّ تَأْخِيرَهُ فِي حَقِّهِ أَفْضَلُ. Then delaying it in regards to the person who will pray at night is better. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها من كل الليل فقد أوتر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أول الليل وأوسطه وآخره فانتهى وتره إلى السحر. That the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام actually prayed during all these times, in the beginning of the night, in the middle of the night, at the end of the night, and his witr would be extended all the way till sahar, which is that pre-dawn time. متفق عليه. ثم ليقل بعد الوتر سبحان الملك القدوس. صحيح. Three times, raising the voice with the last one. Some narrations suggesting رب الملائكة والروح, but again this is debatable on whether it is authentic or not. يرحمك الله. الورد الرابع النوم. Isn't that lovely? The fourth wird, the fourth portion of adhkar is sleeping. How's that? Can sleeping be an ibadah? Yeah, mashallah. We have more than one mufti in the masjid. What is your evidence? I'm going to have to squeeze it. I'm going to push it, as they say. All of you said na'am with confidence, which is good. But you have to remember, when you say something and someone asks for the dalil, you have to provide the dalil. This is before sleeping, Yashin. While sleeping. Sleep on the right. So there are ibadat associated with actual sleep. What about the concept of sleeping itself? Do you not sometimes look at the time and say, look, if I stay up another hour, I will miss Fajr. Or I'm going to be tired at work tomorrow, so I will not perform. So I better go to sleep now in order to be able to wake up for Fajr. So you sleep with the intent of giving your body a rest so that you may worship Allah at a later time. This is ibadah. In this sense. Then of course the other acts of worship associated with sleeping will be ibadah as well. Yes? Sahih, no. Whoever prays Isha in a jama'ah will get the reward of praying half of the night in Qiyam. And whoever prays Fajr in a jama'ah will get the other half. So yes, if you pray Isha and Fajr in jama'ah, you will get the ajr of having prayed all night. Now of course it's lovely to feel this way and then therefore sleep all night, every night. Same, because khalas, I haven't guaranteed. But even though this is the case, one can actually pray. So he will get the ajr of praying and the ajr written for the jama'at. But of course, this is the easy outlet for most of us. Huh? Alayhi sallam. Nah. Aywa, mashallah. A very particular observation by our brother Abdullah in regards to the when the three individuals inquired about the ibadah of the Prophet ﷺ and his wife explained to him what he would do. So one of them said, I would pray all night and I would not sleep. And the other one said, I would not marry a woman. And the other one said, I would fast without breaking my fast. Anyways, when he came back ﷺ, and he rejected this observation, he rejected this attempt of extremism. And he said, verily, I pray and I sleep, I fast and I break my fast, and I marry a woman. Whoever turns away from my sunnah or desires other than my sunnah is not of me. So he considered sleeping part of his sunnah. See how? MashaAllah. Interesting. طيب. على كل حال, we mentioned that already. طيب. So he said, الورد الرابع النوم. He said, وإنما عددناه من الأوراد. لأنه إذا روعيت آدابه وحسن المقصود به احتسب عبادة. Why did we consider this a word, the sleeping? Because if you maintain the etiquettes of sleeping and you have a good intent behind it, it is considered as an act of worship in this sense.
وقد قال معاذ رضي الله عنه إني لأحتسب في نومتي كما أحتسب في قومتي.
Mu'adh said radiallahu anhu, then I seek an ajr from Allah in my sleep the same way I seek it in remaining up in prayer or remaining up in general.
فَمِنْ أَدَبِ النَّوْمِ أَنْ يَنَامَ عَلَى طَهَارًا.
From the etiquettes of sleeping is that you sleep upon in the state of purification or purity.
لما روت عائشة رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أراد أن ينام توضأ وضوءه للصلاة.
Because Aisha narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he intended to sleep, he would make the same wudu he would make for salah.
وقال عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص إن الأرواح يعرج بها في منامها إلى السماء فتؤمر بالسجود عند العرش فما كان منها طاهرا سجد عند العرش وما كان ليس بطاهر سجد بعيدا عن العرش.
And this is attributed to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنه. He said that the souls ascend in its sleep to the heavens. And it is commanded therefore to prostrate before the throne. So whichever soul was pure, when it was the person was sleeping, it will prostrate near the throne. And whichever one is not, it will prostrate far away from the throne. ومن آدابه أن يتوب قبل نومه لأنه ينبغي لمن طهر ظاهره أن أو لمن طهر ظاهره أن يطهر باطنه لأنه ربما مات في نومه. From the etiquettes of sleeping is repenting to Allah prior to sleep, because it is incumbent on the one who purifies his external physical being, make a wudu, to purify his internal, because perhaps he may die in his sleep. And if one of us will die in his sleep, then you want to die with in the state of tawbah, because tawbah erases whatever precedes it. So it's very important that we have this intention every night before we sleep. Sometimes we're too heedless to think about that. So every night one should renew the tawbah. But of course the thing is, I mean, tawbah has conditions. Yani, we don't want it to become a joke. A smoker, let me just say, a smoker who smokes cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes is haram, 100%. Now we'll debate any creature on earth in regards to the prohibition of smoking, but this is not the time to elaborate. Anyone who says makruh, the sheikh who says makruh is usually a smoker himself, and he cannot tell the people it's haram when he's smoking. But for someone to analyze it per the Quran and the Sunnah, then deduce that it's makruh, that's far-fetched. That was the fatwa, you know, Allahu A'lam, how many hundreds of years ago before they knew what tobacco had and nicotine and all the disasters in the cigarette. When they only saw a smell, a bad smell, said onions, garlic, khalas. We'll put it in the category of the makruh because of the odor. But after the discoveries of what is in a cigarette and the harm it causes to you and to the people around you and the smell, and the list goes on. Burning money, wasting money, harming the environment, harming the Muslims. The money goes to tobacco companies who eventually use it against us. Yani, it's a horrible, horrible situation. Horrible situation. So for someone to say after this it's makruh, they must be confused. As confused as they can be. So someone who smokes, he cannot say every night before he sleeps, I'm going to do tawbah, while he knows that when he wakes up in the morning he will smoke. You understand? He cannot do this. Where he says, wallah, play it safe. I'll do tawbah in case I die, I'm not responsible. La. Because one of the conditions of tawbah is that you have the intention never to return to this thing again. So once in his mind, he has a pack of cigarettes on the table next to him, and when he wakes up in the morning, he will puff on a cigarette, his tawbah is invalid. And it becomes a form of istihza, mockery in the deen of Allah, playing games. Doing tawbah while he knows that he insists on this particular sin. Huh? Versus the one who knows he has a problem and he's working on it and he quits. Then he goes back and he's struggling and he's seeking Allah's assistance. He has a different condition. But the one who deliberately smokes while he knows it's haram, and then he pretends to be doing tawbah every night, it doesn't cut it. So we have to know the conditions of tawbah for that tawbah to be valid. There are six conditions. I've mentioned them in many lectures, many khutbah. I don't think repeating them now is necessary. You can refer to them, inshallah, in any one of the talks. One of the talks you can refer to is, and return in repentance to you, Lord. So MP3 or YouTube, whatever you want, watch the whole thing, conditions of tawbah one by one. And what the evidences for that are. Ala kulli hal. وَمِنْهَا أَنْ يُزِيلَ كُلَّ غِشٍ فِي قَلْبِهِ لِمُسْلِمٍ. To remove any kind of enmity or any hatred you have in your heart towards a Muslim. وَلَا يَنْوِي ظُلْمَهُ. Nor do you intend to oppress him the next day. وَلَا يَعْزِمْ عَلَى خَطِيَةٍ إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ. And don't have this conviction or determination to commit a sin when you wake up. وَمِنْهَا أَلَّا يَبِيتَ مَنْ لَهُ شَيْءٍ يُوصِي بِهِ إِلَّا وَوَصِيَّتُهُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ عِنْدَهُ. Do not go to sleep while you have something that is due to someone else without you having written that. لأن في الصحيحين من حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ما حق امرئ مسلم له شيء يوصي فيه يبيت ليلتين إلا ووصيته مكتوبة عنده. It's a right upon every Muslim who has something which he has to write or to mention as a right for someone else, something due to someone else, that two nights shall go by except that will is written with him. It's written with him. So if you borrowed some money from someone, even if it's 500 riyals, that has to be written down somewhere in a will, so that if something happens to you, your family members know about this, and they can, the first thing they do upon your death is pay back this person. Otherwise, one of us will remain in the grave and he will be excluded from the virtues of the righteous people in the grave until that debt is paid off, according to one opinion. And we have a hadith to this effect. Dain is a disaster, you know, debt, owing people money, specifically those who take it without the intention to pay it back. Some of the scholars say those who take it out of necessity and were on in the process of paying back, and something happened to them, that because of a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he will take charge of it. It will be on him ﷺ. While other opinions state that if it's debt, you're binded with that debt. So, you know, people get excited and rush to buy a new car, you know, in this, you know, taqsit or whatever, you know, installments for 60,000, 100,000 riyals and 120,000 riyals, payment for 5, 6, 20, 10 years before you pay back. This is a disaster, ya Sheikh. Every month you're paying money, and if something happens to you, that's 40,000 riyals your family has to find. They have to figure it out from somewhere. So, you know, sometimes when it's one of us knows his budget, he knows his limitations, you just get a used car. You get a used car and life goes on, you know. It doesn't have to be brand new. Of course, sometimes a used car will cost you more money fixing it every other day. But there's a middle path somewhere there, you know. Something affordable. Or you borrow an amount of money that you can pay back. 10,000 riyals from a friend. If you had 10,000, you get another 10, 15,000, buy a decent car. And then pay that person back as soon as possible. Versus a huge amount. When we know that our salary cannot cover these expenses. So, because debt is not a joke. Al-Muhim, وَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَيْضًا أَلَّا يُبَالِغَ فِي تَمْهِيدِ الْفِرَاشِ مُتَنَاعِمًا بِذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ يَزِيدُ فِي النَّوْمِ فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ثَنَى لَهُ ثُنِيَ لَهُ فِرَاشُ فَقَالْ مَنَعَتْنِي وَطْأَتُهُ صَلَاتِي اللَّيْلَةِ. Do you have a... Shu'aib, what does he say about this hadith? ضعيف جدا. طيب. على كل حال, the Shaykh said, do not make your bed too comfortable, because you may sleep longer. And you know, when they want to advertise mattresses, huh? Like the softer, they show you someone knocked out. No, someone sleeping, smiling in their sleep. Yani the mattress is so good. Nobody sleeps like this, man. People sleep fighting with each other and killing mosquitoes, and the baby has his foot in his mother's face. You know, that's in real life. That's what happens. Everybody's on top of everybody. This one fell off the bed and all this. Nobody's sleeping like, you know, sleep high or sleep low or whatever that stuff is. But whenever they want to put advertisement, they lie right to your face. You know, it's blatant lies in your face, and we believe it. Huh? We go out and buy the same mattress which we saw. Yeah, you try to sleep with a smile on your face. And tell me about it later. Al-Muhim. وَيَنْبَغِي أَلَّا يَنَامْ حَتَّى يَغْلِبَهُ النَّوْمُ فَقَدْ كَانَ السَّلَفُ لَا يَنَامُونَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. And the Shaykh said, you should not sleep until you are overwhelmed, until you're knocked out. Because the Salaf would not sleep until they reach the end. Hello? They would not sleep until they're running on khalas. The energy is on zero. There's nothing left, you just knock out. So this whole idea of sitting in bed for an hour, you know, twisting and turning until sleep comes, according to the Shaykh, you do your business. Don't do that. Keep doing what you're doing until, you know, when you go to bed, you go to bed. Done. وَمِنْ أَدَابِهِ أَنْ يَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ وَأَنْ يَدْعُوَ بِمَا وَرَدَ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ فِي ذَلِكَ وَأَنْ يَنَامَ عَلَى جَنْبِهِ الْأَيْمَنِ. And from the etiquettes of sleeping is that you turn towards the Qibla, and that you supplicate with whatever has been narrated from the ahadith, and that you sleep on your right side. Excuse me. Now, of course, the issue of sleeping on the right side is a recommendation. Now, one may sleep on his left side or his back side, but one may not sleep on his stomach, which is the favorite form of sleeping for everyone, when you just go and khalas, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. I say in Lebanese, they say, binam ala wujhu tab. No way they got that from. But it's that, you know, the janazah sleeping, when you can't even turn. Huh? No. There are more than one narration about one that this is the method of the people of the Hellfire, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Another one that Allah Azza wa Jal يُبْغِدُ هَذِهِ الضَّعْجَةِ. Allah Azza wa Jal hates this kind of form of sleeping, this posture in sleeping. So just keep that in mind.
فَمِمَّا جَاءَ فِي ذَلِكَ مَا رَوَى أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِذَا أَوَى أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ فَلْيَنْفُضْهُ بِدَاخِلَةِ إِزَارِهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي مَا حَدَثَ بَعْدَهُ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, if one of you is about to go to sleep, let him use the hem of his lower garment, to kind of clean out the mattress, kind of, you know, dust it off. Because you don't know what happens afterwards. Could be a scorpion, snake, something of the sort. Make sure that the place is ready for you to sleep.
فَإِذَا وَضَعَ جَنْبَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِكَ رَبِّي وَضَعْتُ جَنْبِي وَبِكَ أَرْفَعُهُ.
If you put your side on the bed, then you should say, in your name, O my Lord, I place my side. And in your name, I shall rise.
إِنْ أَمْسَكْتَ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لَهَا.
If you hold my soul from returning to the dunya, then forgive it.
وَإِذَا أَرْسَلْتَهَا فَاحْفَظْهَا بِمَا تَحْفَظُ بِهِ عِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ.
And if you send it back, then protect it in the manner in which you protect your righteous slaves.
أَخْرَجَاهُ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ.
وَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ أَيْضًا مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ إِذَا أَوَى إِلَى فِرَاشِهِ كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ جَمَعَ كَفَّيْهِ ثُمَّ نَفَثَ فِيهِمَا وَقَرَأَ فِيهِمَا قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ ثُمَّ يَمْسَحُ بِهِمَا مَا اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ يَبْدَأُ بِهِمَا عَلَى رَأْسِهِ وَوَجْهِهِ وَمَا أَقْبَلَ مِنْ جَسَدِهِ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ 3 مَرَّاتٍ.
We have a hadith from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, which is also in Bukhari and Muslim, that when the Prophet would go to sleep عليه الصلاة والسلام, he would bring his two palms together and then he would blow into them. And then he would recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and then قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Then he would wipe his head, face, and whatever he is able to reach from his body. Which means you don't have to do like in ghusl. You have to make sure that every part of your body has had its share of water, has gotten wet. Whatever is possible in this manner of your body. 3 times. So 3 times you will blow. Some say, you know, like a small spit, but not actual saliva. And the قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ مُعَوِّذَتَانِ. 3 times. Now, this is in regards to this timing. Many people take this hadith and apply it all across. In every dua, he does this. After salah, before salah, between adhan and iqamah, and so on and so forth. We say to this person, Ya Shaykh al-Fadil, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam apply this at all times or at that specific time? At that specific time. So the sunnah is at that specific time. You cannot get one ibadah from one time which it has been specified, while the Prophet ﷺ had plenty of opportunities to do it at other times without doing it, and then you do it. Because you're doing something which he deliberately left it on. And this is qaida and al-usuliyin in Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. What man aqadat asbabuhu, aw asbabuhu fi'lihi, وَلَمْ يَفْعَلُهُ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ السُنَّةَ تَرْكَ هَذَا الشَّيْءٍ. Whatever the situation allowed for something to happen, yet deliberately the Prophet ﷺ did not do it, even though it was feasible, the sunnah in this regard is that you leave it. And the bid'ah is that you do it. He could have done it. He didn't do it. So then the sunnah becomes that you don't do it. And it's not a sunnah to do what he left alone. Blow then recite. جمع كفيه ثم نفث فيهما وقرأ فيهما. I'm going by the hadith. If someone has another narration, Allahu a'lam. I'm going by the narration in the book. نعم.
وفيهما من حديث البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أتيت مضجعك
فتوضأ وضوءك للصلاة وضوءك للصلاة ثم اضطجع على شقك الأيمن ثم قل اللهم أسلمت نفسي إليك ووجهت وجهي إليك وفوضت أمري إليك وألجأت ظهري إليك رغبة ورهبة إليك لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت فإنك إن مت في ليلتك مت على الفطرة وإن أصبحت أصبحت خيرا وإن أصبحت أصبت خيرا عفوا. In another hadith from Bara ibn Azib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you go to your sleep, then make the wudu you would make for salah. Then sleep on your right side. Then say, oh Allah, I have submitted or surrendered myself to you. And I have turned my face toward you. And I have retired my affairs to you. Out of hope and desire of what you have. And out of fear of you. There's no escape. There's no fleeing. And no protection from you except with you. I have believed in the book which you have sent down, in your book which you have sent down, and in your prophet whom you have sent. So if you die in that night, you have died upon the fitrah, the natural disposition. And if you wake up, you have attained goodness. From what I remember, this is one of the evidences in this hadith used to prove that when we want to say the adhkar or the ad'iya, we have to be particular to the word. Because when the Sahabi, if I remember well, repeated the hadith or repeated the dua to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَرَسُولِكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, corrected him and he said, نَبِيِّكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتِ. Even though, technically speaking, it's the same thing. He's speaking about the Prophet ﷺ. So whether you say النبي أو الرسول, it's in reference to the Prophet ﷺ. But because the Prophet said, insisted on the word نبي, in this context, the scholars use this as an evidence that when you have a text about a dua, you have to stick to the wording of the text and do not change that. Because in that is the barakah. Because it's the choice of the Prophet ﷺ. So don't choose something which he did not choose. There's wisdom in that. وعن علي رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له ولفاطمة إذا أخذتما مضاجعكما أو أويتما إلى فراشكما فسبح الله 33 واحمداه 33 وكبراه 34 فهو خير لكما من خادم متفق عليه. And Ali narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said to him and to his wife Fatima that if you go to your sleep or to your bed, then say Subhanallah 33 times and Alhamdulillah 33 times and Allahu Akbar 34 times. It is better for you than having a servant. Because Fatima had complained about the mill that she was using, a hand mill for making food and grinding. So she had a hard time. So she had heard that the Prophet ﷺ had some slaves that they had acquired from the war booty. So she went and asked for one, but she didn't find them. She found Aisha radiallahu anha. So she asked Aisha, and when the Prophet heard ﷺ, he went to them, and you know they were sitting in their bed. And Ali said, I could feel the coolness of the foot of the Prophet ﷺ on my chest, and he told him this particular hadith. So this is the one regarding before sleeping. But the one after Salah is 33, 33, 33, and then the last one is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Jameel. Wa hadithu Abi Hurairah fi hifdhi zakati Ramadan mashhur, aw Ramadana mashhur. Wa fihi anna shaytanan qala lahu idha awayta ila firashika faqra ayat al-kursi fa'innahu lan yazala alayka min Allah hafiz wa la yaqrabuka shaytan. فأخبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أما إنه قد صدقك وهو كذوب. The long hadith of Abu Huraira, the Sheikh did not mention the whole hadith, so we will also follow his footsteps. The conclusion of it is that Shaytan said to Abu Huraira, if you go to sleep, then recite Ayat al-Kursi, because he had caught him three times and every time he said, I promise I will not come back. He said, recite Ayat al-Kursi before you go to sleep. If you do so, Allah will assign a guard to protect you. And no shaitan will be able to approach you until, obviously, you wake up. So when Abu Huraira informed the Prophet ﷺ of what the shaitan had told him, he said, verily he has told you the truth, even though he's an absolute liar. And what we learn from this is that, we take the truth from anyone. But time out. Because some people use the same concept to go to the other extreme, which is, wallah, listen to everybody. Any sheikh in the world, ما في مشكلة. Any da'i, ما في مشكلة. Any scholar, we'll take the good. Do you have the ability to distinguish this good? لا. And did the Salaf, apply this across the board? Sit with the Ahlul Bid'ah and say we will learn from them? لا. No, they will not mix with them. They will not argue with them. It's from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That there's no argumentation with the people of Bid'ah. They will confuse you. They will confuse you. They will cast doubt in what you have already believed in. So this does not mean it's a green line or green light for you or for any one of us to khalas say, wallah, anyone who says the truth, I will accept it. Now, if someone is going to give you 99% junk and 1% truth, you can get this 1% truth from another source and avoid the 99% junk. So there's a balance in understanding this. But if someone who usually said the truth, we don't say, wallah, because you're a liar, I'm not going to believe you. If he say what he's saying is the truth at that point, you accept that piece of information. It doesn't mean you take knowledge from him all the time, or you make him your source of news. He's a liar. Is that clear? Hope so. And the last one which we will deal with now, I think, or maybe not. وفي أفراد مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أوى إلى فراشه قال الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وكفانا وآوانا فكم من لا كافي له ولا مؤوي. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would go to bed, he would say, praises due to Allah, praise be to Allah who has provided us with food and with drink, and he has given us a shelter and a place to stay. How often or how many are those who have no, they are not sufficed, nor do they have a place to stay. فَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ لِلْتَهَجُّدِ فَلْيَدْعُ بِدُعَاءِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If one of us then wakes up for tahajjud, he should make the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's a lengthy dua. Allahumma rabbana lakal hamd. O Allah, our Lord, to you belong the praise. Anta qayyimu samawati wal ard. I lost it. Where is it? Na'am. One second. Na'am. Wa man fihin. You are the one who maintains the heavens and the earth and everyone who's in them or within them. Wa lakal hamd anta nuru samawati wal ard wa man fihin. To you belong the praise. You are the light of the heavens and the earth and what is in between them. ولك الحمد أنت ملك السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن. And to you belongs أنت ملك السماوات. نعم. You are the king of the heavens and the earth and whatever is between them. ولك الحمد أنت الحق. And to you belong the praise. You are the truth. ووعدك الحق. And your promise is the truth. ولقاؤك حق. And meeting you is the truth. والجنة حق. And the Jannah is the truth. والنار حق. And the hellfire is the truth. والنبيون حق. And the prophets. ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حق. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is obviously the truth. والساعة حق. اللهم لك أسلمت وبك أمنت وعليك توكلت وإليك أنبت وبك خاصمت وإليك حكمت فاغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسرت وما أعلنت. And the hour is the truth, or is true. Oh Allah, to you I have submitted, and in you I have believed, and upon you I have relied, and to you I have turned in repentance, and in regards to you I have have my enmity is based on what you don't like basically, and to you I refer my judgment. So forgive my sins, what I have preceded and what I have what is coming later, and what I have kept as a secret and what I have publicized. وفي رواية وما أنت أعلم به مني. And in that which you know better than myself. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر. You are the one who puts forth and delays. لا إله إلا أنت. There is none worthy of worship but you. The interesting thing here is in the Arabic language, this صيغة الحصر, or this form of exclusivity, when you say لك أسلمت وبك أمنت, versus saying أسلمت لك وأمنت بك وتوكلت عليك. So it's all to make it exclusive to Allah. So only to you I have submitted, and only to you I have believed, and you have believed, and only upon you I have relied. Like إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. It's the same rhetoric in the Arabic language to signify the exclusivity belonging to Allah Azza wa Jal. وليجتهد أن يكون آخر كلامه عند النوم ذكر الله تعالى. And strive that the last thing which you say before you sleep is the remembrance of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وأول ما يجري على لساني عند التيقظ ذكر الله تعالى. And the first thing which your tongue engages in upon waking up is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَاتَانِ عَلَامَتَانِ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. These are two signs of iman. Because there are some people who sleep on a cigarette and they wake up on a cigarette. Huh? Or they sleep, you know, watching pornography and they wake up watching, you know, some musical festival. And so, شَتَّانَ مَا بَيْنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ. What a vast difference between the two. You know, someone who's engaging in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal before sleeping and upon waking up, and someone who's on a whole another, you know, whole another planet. Nasallallahu lana wa lakum al-afiya. Al-muhim, we have to, or shall we finish al-wird al-khamis al-sadis? How much time do we have left? Because I saw three people leaving. When you see people leaving, it's a sign that you have to be careful. Can we afford another 5 minutes, 6 minutes? Huh? If you're tired, tell me. I'll be the first to sleep. الورد الخامس من أوراد الليل. The fifth one from the أوراد الليل يدخل بمضي النصف الأول إلى أن يبقى من الليل سدسه. وذلك وقت شريف. The fifth one is upon the conclusion of the first half and the entering into 1/6 of the night. And this is a noble time. قال أبو ذر رضي الله عنه سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي صلاة الليل أفضل قال نصف الليل وقليل فعله. What does the Sheikh say? رواه البيهقي ضعيف. نعم. So we will skip it. It seems like you have the better. Where do you have this copy from? Maybe we'll kidnap you after the درس inshallah and take the book. 20 riyals. خلاص. Buy everybody a copy. وروي أن داود عليه السلام قال just tell me. No, this one, the one about داود. Because mine is only mentioning. Oh, this one is. Then we skip. فإذا قام إلى التهجد قرأ العشر الآيات من آخر سورة آل عمران كما روي في الصحيحين. If you get up for tahajjud, you recite the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Imran, as is narrated in the Sahihain. We don't have to worry about that one. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل ذلك وليدعو بما سبق من دعائه صلى الله عليه وسلم عند قيامه من الليل. And let him repeat the same dua which was preceded from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام when praying at night. ثم يستفتح صلاته بركعتين خفيفتين. Then you begin the salah with two light ركعتين. For some people, of course, light is like 45 seconds. And that is not light. That is a lightning. Okay? Like, and khalas. This is not a salah. It's not. And until now, I remain to be amazed. You know, at some people who enter the masjid, and honestly, within a minute, he's done with tahiyyat al-masjid. Look, if you don't want to pray, you better sit down. If one of us has to choose between praying in this disgusting fashion versus not praying, he's better off not praying. Either you pray from your heart or you struggle with yourself if you're not able to pray properly, or don't pray. As for this salah, mashi halak salah, just to get it off my shoulder, it's inappropriate, because at the end of the day, it's salah for Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's a hadith, authentic hadith, authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani, that a man would reach 60 years, Allah would not accept for him a single salah, because he would not fulfill the ruku' and the sujood of the salah. Surah. Don't pray. Or pray properly. Is the solution not to pray at all? No. What is the real solution? We strive and train ourselves to pray properly. Until that time, this 1 minute salah doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. So, you know, like we have the hadith, and the man who did this, what did the Prophet say to him, alayhi salam? ارجع فصلي فإنك لم تصلي. Go back and pray, you didn't pray. And the man wanted good, so the Prophet alayhi salam taught him. He didn't teach him from the first time. He commanded him to go and try again and to pray again. When the man had no other, did not know anything else, he then taught him the idea of tumanina and tranquility in the salah. So we know this already. The man did not know. Therefore he's excused. And it took him 3 times. That we all know about tumanina, and it's a rukun from arkan as-salah. Without it, the salah is invalid. So there's no excuse for salah to be prayed in this manner. الركوع let it, you know, finish the سبحان ربي العظيم, سجود finish سبحان ربي الأعلى. I mean, there's no rush. It's a few minute difference. Life goes on, you know. رواه مسلم ثم يصلي مثنى مثنى وأكثر ما روي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يصلي بين الليل 13 ركعة مع الوتر وأقلهن 7. And then you pray in twos. And the most which was narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is that he prayed 13. And the one which we know the standard by Aisha is 11. The 13 is the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Some of the scholars say it includes the rak'atayn of sunnah after Isha. That's how they became 13. Because they added the rak'atayn sunnah after Isha with the qiyam. Altogether in that night he prayed 13. But the qiyam was actually 11. Never prayed more than that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-wirdu sadis, and the last one, we're almost done. Don't panic. الورد السادس من الليل السدس الأخير وهو وقت السحر قال الله تعالى وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. The last word is the dawn, the pre-dawn, which is that time. And Allah says regarding those people وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. At that time they are seeking forgiveness from Allah جل جلاله. وفي الحديث إن قراءة الرجل آخر الليل محظورة. The hadith is a Muslim, صح؟ Now here it says رواه مسلم وأحمد. أي that the prayer of the man at the end of the night is witnessed, just like wa Quran al-Fajr, inna Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. وَجَاءَ طَوُوسٌ. Now this is amazing. We're going to conclude with this amazing يعني أثر, or we'll have one sentence afterwards. وَجَاءَ طَوُوسٌ. طَوُوسٌ is one of the أئمة, one of the أئمة who was at the time contemporary to Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, because Imam Ahmad was once you know, because he was very sick, he was making the sound of a sick person. Ya'in min al-marad. So they said to him, Tawus, the Tawus said that this is not appropriate. That, you know, making the sound is not appropriate. So he stopped, Imam Ahmad. He stopped of making the sound of pain when he was sick, because they told him Tawus said that this is not to be done. So Tawus is Tawus. Anyways, وَجَاءَ طَوُوسِ إِلَى رَجُلٌ وَقْتَ السَّحَرِ. He came to a man at the time of pre-dawn. That's when he visited him. فَقَالُ هُوَ نَائِمٌ. He said, he's sleeping. فَقَالَ مَا كُنْتُ أَرَى أَنَّ أَحْدًا يَنَامُ وَقْتَ السَّحَرِ. Said, I never thought that someone would be sleeping at the, you know, pre-dawn time. So if he visited us today, huh, he would have to say something else. Huh? Is there anyone up by any chance? So he felt it was weird. Are you kidding me? Is someone sleeping at this time? It's like, this is the standard that no one sleeps at that time. Allah musta'an. فَإِذَا فَرَغَ الْمُرِيدُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ السَّحَرِ فَلْيَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلَّ. So if you conclude that prayer, and this is the best time for witr obviously, then you seek forgiveness of Allah عز وجل. وَرُوِيَ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ. It was narrated that Umar would do istighfar after that salah. So that concludes this chapter. And in the next chapter, inshallah, we'll be dealing with the various adhkar and the various occasions. Going up and down, before entering the bathroom, and adhkar of different benefit, inshallah. هذا والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.